the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We have this. Rick. I swear to God. Oh, is this Ed McCarthy? Let me know if it's Ed, and I'll just... Okay. Let us with that. I'll read these. It would not be appropriate to read these emails now. It would be a clash of tones that even I, Rick Emerson, find to be unacceptable at this point in time. Let us now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show from the South, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. Ed, hello.
Afternoon.
How are you doing, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. You're at the CNN Center. They've had you following this James Kim thing. And then I seem, just as a side note here, not that we're not glad to have you on, because of course we always appreciate your presence and the fact that you bring a certain southern savoir-faire to the Rick Emerson program, but doesn't seem like they ought to have a Pacific Northwest correspondent, or do they not believe that it's worthy of having our own correspondent up here, do you think?
Well, you know, that's, part of the deal, I guess. If it was a travel situation, they may have sent me out there. But of course, that's Roof's territory, basically.
I suppose. You know, that guy's always on vacation anyway. That man is shiftless, Ed McCarthy.
Always on vacation.
Always on vacation, or drunk, or quite conceivably both. So it is now what? It's official, right? That they found James. He's dead. He died.
That's unfortunate. Yeah. Apparently, you know, we just don't know at this point whether he was trying to, you know, leave a trail, because he had, you know, it was the second pair of pants, I guess, over his jeans, that, you know, he might have been trying to leave a trail. Or there's also the other sad part. There's actually three sad parts here, but, you know, he may possibly have had hypothermia, and sometimes that works on your brain where you think you're warm or hot, and, you know, he was shedding clothes. That could have been the case. And then I don't know enough about this now. We just know that we got the confirmation that his body was found, but whether or not, you know, he may have been attacked by some form of wildlife, we just don't know.
Well, we were talking about this the last couple of days, and I mean, and you are no stranger to this, of course, you know, and you're part of it, in your neck of the woods. The Northwest is full of things that'll kill you. I mean, it just, and it, it now, is it known, have they talked to the wife enough to figure out whether... They thought they were on the right road when they went down it, or were they trying to leave some kind of a shortcut or something? Like, how did they end up going from Seattle to San Francisco, but then they somehow ended up in the middle of the freaking woods?
That I don't know yet, to be perfectly honest with you, Rick. I really don't know. I think they're going to probably wait a few days and maybe interview her. You know, they've been through a lot of trauma.
Sure, yeah.
And, you know, that I don't know. But what they did was they traced that restaurant where they were, and then they had a ping on the cell phone, which is kind of like a text message.
Right.
You know, that's what's kind of iffy, because you're in the mountains and, you know, you don't always get reception. But they were able to, I guess, pull that triangular thing that they do or whatever and try to pinpoint where they were. And they got lucky on that one. And they found, you know, Katie Kim and the two children. So they were very, very fortunate in that regard. And, of course, you know, your heart goes out to him, because he was trying to...
And he'd gone for help. That was because he was trying to get back to the road. Or
he'd go as far as he could. He was only going to go a certain distance, apparently, is what he told her. And then if he didn't see anybody, he would come back. And then he never came back.
Yeah, and especially, I mean, even growing up in the Northwest, it's going to be really difficult to figure out where the hell you are. And this place is, I mean, there are 500 different sections of Oregon that all look identical once you get a certain amount of way in. There's no landmarks, especially during the winter, and especially if you're not from here.
Well, the summer. Remember I told you about Carol, our daughter, that she took that mountain bike ride? And suddenly, they were gone overnight. They didn't find their way back. And, of course, nobody at the base camp, I guess, noticed they were gone. And they were gone for a while. So they were sweating that one out. They were hearing all kinds of a noise. She said that there was a mountain lion or something nearby. She could see the eyes.
Well, that's creepy. That's got, I mean, I can't even imagine that. Dad, that's got to just terrify you. The idea that, you know, you hear any story that like, and then we looked out and there was a mountain lion. I mean, it's just bad.
I'll tell you, just not getting away from the story in a second, but I am. You know, Carol's exploit, so every time the phone rings here, we don't know what to expect. She, over the weekend, she was out in California surfing, and she got attacked by a stingray.
Really?
Yeah, so she's not been in good shape.
I thought, now, not to be morbid about it, I thought those things killed you dead.
This one got her in the foot.
Oh, that's, yeah.
It was just apparently you had to put a heating pad on to get the poison out. And
bad scene.
Just really, really, I'll tell you what, she has some adventures, and we don't know how much, we might have to get a good cardiologist in the McCarthy family.
Seriously, well, you know, everybody knows somebody like that, and it's usually a family member. In my case, it was my brother Dave, where the guy is just like a walking chaos factor. he is the swizzle stick that stirs the drink of my family, you know? The guy that, every family has the one member that keeps things interesting. That's a polite way to put it.
By the way, what's your drink? She's making one now. What do you drink? What are you drinking right now? Rick's making a list. Will you go out there? What are you drinking? Vodka cranberry, she said.
Vodka cranberry. Sarah, how do you feel about vodka cranberry? That's the Kapellmeister.
Oh, they're good.
Vodka cranberry. Sarah is a vodka enthusiast, so.
I do. I enjoy vodka soda.
All right.
I'll have the same.
All right. You know what? We're going to start. I'm going to keep it a little card file here. Just so when everybody comes here, everybody gets the appropriate drink handed to them as soon as they're in there. As soon as your feet touch the tarmac in Portland, whenever you guys come through, so I'll have, you know, we'll have somebody there prepared to hand you a drink, sir.
There you go.
All right. Well, I mean, it does.
Bad note, sorry to get this news because I know obviously when we come on, we try to make the show upbeat and.
Well, we kind
of
knew that this was
a couple of laughs, usually at our expense, but I feel horrible about that because apparently he was quite a guy.
Well, and we even here we have, sadly, we not to minimize this, but we have these stories. We have some shade of the story several times a year here, where there's people who either because they don't pay attention to directions or just because they get confused, which I think is what happened to this guy. Not to be too pontificating about it, but the one thing, my dad was not much for dispensing accurate wisdom, but the one thing that I always heard growing up, and my dad was a guy, he was a hunter and a fisher, and I was not much of one. I'm not much of an outdoors guy, but the thing that he really pounded into me over and over again was that you really have to respect the outdoors because it does not respect you at all.
No.
And it'll kill you at the first chance it gets.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
Well, my friend, have a vodka cranberry for us, and we will speak to you hopefully under happier circumstances at some point.
Remember,
in the future.
As I told you yesterday when we're on the air, we'll watch Kathy do that. We won't be having one, though.
Well,
I'm hanging up. Okay.
All right. Thank you, sir. There we go. Ed McCarthy. I love that guy. I love the idea that he is literally calling us from his dining room as his wife is making drinks in the other room. Come on! Let's hear it for that guy. That guy's fantastic. Ed McCarthy. All right. And he's so anal retentive about not wanting to drink when he's here on the job. Doesn't make any sense, man. He's not as bad as Bob Costantini. Bob Costantini, by the way, who was working today.
Oh, he was?
He was working today, but Lisa Goddard was there, too. So he was doing the Dick Iuliano shift, which means that we weren't able to get him. He was doing the early morning. He was the early morning stoned pimp of CNN Radio this morning. We were not able to get him. Here in Skosh, a little by the bottom of the hour, we'll have Tim Riley come back from the Ministry of Truth. I guess this James Kim thing is kind of over. I mean, we'll have some details on that as it unfolds. But there's not a whole lot else to say there. I just got a few of these emails I'm going to read. I should probably get some of this. I should get to this some of this Inquirer news so I can get that out of the way. We read the Inquirer so you don't have to. And then later on, we have Jim Roop who's going to come on and talk about this Lane Garrison thing and so forth. Let me just read a couple of these here. Rick, I'm going to hell, says this email. Great way to imitate a retard, by the way. Thank you, sir. Anyways, I was riding the bus and noticed one of the... By the way, and you didn't get to hear this because it was during the break, but during the break, Sarah was actually impersonating the retarded person in question with the voice, which was glorious, by the way. It was golden. And it was a whole lot of, I know Trubisky kitties! And it was a lot of like,
Oh, and it's every day.
And is it now...
But at least she just talks to the bus drivers,
well,
so she's not talking to anybody else.
Man, and we've talked to so many bus drivers. I don't know what it is about bus drivers. There are certain people in this world. I almost busted into a Monty Python. There are Jews in the world, there are Buddhists. There are people in this world that are magnets for... I've talked in the past, we had a lot of talking in the show about that, places that are magnets for morons. I'm not talking about that, but this is similar. This is a related but different thing. There are people in this world that are magnets for people who you don't want to talk to. Bartenders, example. The bartender, man, you couldn't pay me enough. That's a job. I got to give it up. That's, you know, we ought to do like a whole, we salute you, like blue collar guy with a job I wouldn't want to do. Let me write that down. I'm going to do that as the holidays get closer. We salute you, guy with job that sucks. Because there's jobs that you think about that sucks. Like, what do you do? Well, I clean out toilets. You know, well, nobody knows that that's a, nobody thinks that's a good job. But you think about somebody who's a bartender. Being a bartender has got to be the worst job on earth. I mean, I don't know if bartenders get paid well. If they get paid, it probably is like a tip-based thing more than anything else. Especially
more tip-based.
Yeah, I mean, if you're like in some huge, I don't know, you're a bartender in Manhattan, maybe you just make a lot. But I suspect that like most places, it just all depends on the clientele. And if you're a bartender at some skis hole, the guys are coming in and the only the tip you get is whatever change they have at the, when they get to the bottom of the four roses at the end of the night. That is not only because you have to just deal with the drunken nitwits all night long, and just because you go home reeking of bad booze and stale cigarettes smelling at the bottom of an outhouse by the time you walk in your own front door. When you are a bartender, it's every guy with every bad, boring, tedious, droning story that you couldn't possibly care less about is sitting there at the bar talking to you in ever-increasing volume levels with beer, like bad, warm beer breath, just going on, and then my bitch wife took the kids, and there's like 50 of those guys over the course of a night. You just want to kill yourself. There are people, though, who attract folks like that, and bus drivers are another one. I don't know what it is about the weird, the old, the enfeeble, and the retarded always wanting to talk to bus drivers. What, and I'm not trying to knock bus drivers. Bus drivers aren't technically speaking delivery drivers, but I guess they are in the sense that they deliver people. So, just like the apostles were fishers of men, you are deliverers of folks. So, you know, bus drivers are close to our heart, I guess, on the Rick Emerson Show, like the other delivery people. But so I'm not casting aspersions on bus drivers. Nothing wrong with you. You're good folks. I don't know why it is that strange and retarded people are so attracted to you, though. What is the special hold? What is the appeal that bus drivers have?
Well, because the bus driver can't get up and change seats.
He can't leave.
Mm-hmm. And well, the bus driver has to be courteous and polite.
Like having a legless girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. What?
Bam! Thank you. That was the best part right there. Thank you. Okay. Well,
and all I was thinking, I was going to call you on my phone and just like leave my phone open so you could listen to her talking.
So I could hear the sister. We have best idea ever. Not the best idea ever.
I'm not bringing her to the studio.
That wasn't going to be my. That's a great idea too. Would she like to come in and do the weather? Would she like to come in and talk about her cat?
I bet she'd talk about her cat.
Okay, but it has to
and
be...
And spaghetti.
She has to be in Scotty's room, though, so that we can just turn off the mic when we get tired of her. When the joke gets old, we have to just be able to turn her off. I don't want to have to get somebody near, like wheel her out. Oh, now bartenders are calling. Okay, we'll talk to them in a second. What was my point? You know what we ought to have? Note to Scott Dowling and Aaron Geek in the City Duran, after you do your diehard commentary... What is that movie, Riding the Bus with My Sister?
Mm-hmm.
That ought to be the next drunken commentary.
That movie's almost, like, too painful to watch.
90 minutes of Rosie O'Donnell as a fat, retarded girl on a bus.
She wears a lot of day-glow clothing.
Thank you! Plus, you're drunk. I mean, it's going to be the best thing ever. Okay, you just know, you just file that away. You give it a... You chew that over in your head. This email says, I was riding the bus and I noticed one of the riders was clearly a Down syndrome person. They were wearing headphones. This is another thing, and I don't mean to stereotype, but this is a thing we've all seen a million times. There are the special children, the people who come out the back door at God's factory. The thing is, they share a lot of traits, and one of them is this. He's describing it here. Wearing headphones and clearly enjoying the music. Then, in an action that guaranteed me a nice, cozy stinkhole in hell, they started singing at the top of their lungs, rocking out to what were clearly Two Live Crew lyrics, and not the family-friendly kind. You see a lot of the special kids, and they've got the huge 70s headphones, and then really into the music, singing very loudly so everyone on the bus can share it. I busted up laughing, and while wiping the tears out of my eyes at the hilarity, expecting to see my fellow riders as amused as I, found that the whole bus full of suburban housefrows and naturopathic student hippie chicks were staring at me like I had just kicked an epileptic puppy with three legs. The Down syndrome guy gave me a high five as he got off the bus, though. Screw the white bread soulless suburban automatons who can't find the humor in a retard screaming out Two Live Crew lyrics on a crowded bus. It's hilarious. I am going to hell, though. And then I will read this, and then we will take these calls. I'm just going to read this email. Now, this is from, I won't use his name. Do you remember that guy who emailed or he called something about how he works with a lot of the special kids, and they watch the same movie every day because they can't remember that they've seen it before? This is him. The subject line of this is, spaghetti retards, you have no earthly idea. Because we had talked about how Sarah's special friend enjoys... when I say special friend, I do not mean a private area of her anatomy. Sarah's special friend on the bus. He's a big... She's spaghetti? She's a spaghetti fan?
Uh-huh.
This email says, Rick, I had to take many of my special clients to Granny's Buffet restaurants and feed them spaghetti by hand. They usually drool and would spit it back at me. I was once stuck in a Puget Sound Christmas cruise boat with 200 screaming retards for 6 hours. Best job ever. So there you go. So the next time you think your job is bad, the next time you get up and you go, I hate sitting in this clean, carpeted cubicle with air conditioning, fluorescent lighting, and a coffee pot just down the hall. You're not having masticated spaghetti hurled back at you out of the mouth of a retarded person who's screaming at you from across the table. Let's talk to Michael. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, I was just listening. I just wanted to comment. I thought being a bartender was the greatest job I ever had.
No, so, see, and I've never been a bartender, so I don't know. I was just speculating. It seems like it'd be just a crap job. Like, and I don't, no disrespect to bartenders. It just seems like you would just learn to hate people.
You just have to, like, deal with a bunch of crazies talking to you.
I guess it depends on your outlook on life. I got to see some people do some of the stupidest stuff you've ever seen them do in their life.
Well, that is true. That you do. It is like having a window seat at the primate house.
This is true.
Yeah. No. And now, let me ask you this. Now, as a bartender, do you? I mean, obviously, you meet a lot of hot girls, but I mean, look, I meet a lot of hot girls just walking through the sales department at CBS Radio. Doesn't mean any of them like me, or if I'm even remotely amusing or tolerable. So, you meet a lot of hot girls as a bartender. Do you get a lot of hot girls being a bartender?
Well, yeah.
So is that true? Is it just because they're drunk, or is it because as the bartender you are some kind of power figure? Is it that you wield some kind of authority, or you come across as a strong authority figure when you're a bartender?
Yeah, you know, I think it's because they look at you as the guy that can hook them up, and you know, you get them one time and they'll come in and they think they can get all the free drinks they want.
All right, well, fair enough. Okay, so there you go. Now, can you say where you were a bartender at?
It was a little podunk town in New Mexico.
Okay, fair enough. All right, my friend. Thank you, Michael.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's Michael. Let's get one more bartending call, then we'll break. Jesse, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, what's happening?
What's up?
Bartending is the best job ever, man. It's, you know, it's like a low-level celebrity in a way. You know, you're the guy, one, you're the guy that's got all the booze. I mean, you're in control of all that stuff, so everybody wants to be your friend. But it also affords you the ability to say just the most obnoxious stuff. It's not like working at a bank where you can, you know, if a girl walks up, you can comment on her womanly pillows and you get fired. You know, as the bartender, you're kind of god of the place, and it really shows. I mean, customers want to be your best friends, and the women all love the bartender.
I never really thought about that, because I guess it's true, though. If you're the bartender, you are the keeper of the booze.
And you work around booze all day. Booze, and you get to stare at hot women. I mean, what else do you really, you know, and you're not... perceived as creepy because, you know.
I guess because if you're a bartender, they expect you to be a little edgy, you know, kind of a little bit of a dick, you know, kind of in their face a little bit. So you can say things like, you know, you can comment on their clothes or how they look or whatever, and I guess it is all part of the persona. And plus, I never really thought about this, and I don't mean to cast aspersions on our good friend alcohol, which most of the people within the sound of my voice get through every single day and night. But, you know, and I mean this in the truest sense, just like the barista, with a bartender is your friendly neighborhood dealer. They have the drug you need. And so everybody loves the dealer. Everybody loves the bartender.
And the other thing, too, is, one, we just make a ridiculous amount of money. You know, it's anywhere from 200 to 400 a night. And you work 3-4 days a week.
Is that true? Really? 300 to 400 a night? Was this in Portland?
Yeah, no, I still wear the Touche downtown, yeah.
That's insane. I mean, that's sort of the male equivalent of being a stripper.
Yeah, no, it is. You know, it's harder to get a bartending job than it is a stripping job. Believe me, I've tried.
Okay, I know we have to, but Sarah's giving me that we have to break. One final question, and then we'll break here. I see that place, and I make fun of it all the time, but maybe I've been doing it incorrectly. I see that place on, it's like 4th, downtown by the Art Institute, by the Cheerful Tortoise. It's the Bartending Academy. I was just assuming that that's like some 1-800 scam college.
It is. It's a joke. Nobody's going to hire you if you come from there.
All right. That's what I thought. Because the B has like a little red bow tie on it, and the guy who advertises it has one of those big 70s molestaches.
Yeah. And the one last thing, the key about being a bartender, too, is when you go to a bar to meet girls, you have to have a reason to talk to them. As a bartender, you always have a reason to talk.
You are the reason.
And you don't know their names. So you call them sweetheart, sugar, beautiful, and they just fall in love with you.
Fantastic. God bless you, sir.
All right.
Thank you.
I want my Uncle Charlie sausage.
There you go. That's Jesse. Back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. You are just minutes away from Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Put that on this station. Oh, hello. I wasn't talking about anything important, Lacey Turner. It's 503-733, so don't you pay, no, never mind. 503-733-2970. The Rick Emerson radio program. Hello. How are you on this fine Wednesday? Please now to be enjoying the sounds of Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, we have some sad news. At Grants Pass, searchers have found the body of missing California man James Kim. Under Sheriff Brian Anderson confirmed he was found in a remote wilderness area.
At 12:03 hours today, the body of James Kim was located down in the Big Windy Creek.
Yeah. All right.
Kim and his family disappeared in Southern Oregon on their way back to San Francisco for a Thanksgiving trip in Seattle. Kim's wife and two daughters found alive yesterday in their car on a backwoods road. James Kim had left his family on Sunday to find help. Bad move. Never do that, they say. Stay put.
Well, that's the thing. It goes against everything you're told. Because you always want to be like, no, I'm sure there's somebody. You always think it's like a Twilight Zone where the rocket has secretly just landed back on Earth and there's somebody right over the ridge. You just stay together. Never split up. And I guess I'm lecturing a guy who it doesn't matter for anymore. But don't follow the lights when you're following Gollum on the way to Mordor. And don't leave the car when your family gets lost in the woods. Stay together. And stay on the path whenever possible.
Distances are deceiving.
That it's true, especially when it's like a whiteout.
Yeah.
Outside is all snowy. One tree looks the same as another to everybody. So, yeah, just stick to
it. We were just talking that other day, that time I went to Kansas and I saw that sign, Pancakes Ahead. It wasn't true.
You were trapped in an Escher painting. Mm-hmm. You just said, I'm never going to get any closer. I mean, I don't mean to be trampling on the guy's grave and so, but the car is easier to see than a person.
Yes.
And so, and we know that because we saw endless helicopter shots of the car, which they found. So, I mean, it's just a word to the wise. We can't lose any listeners. We're always teetering in the blink of oblivion anyway. So, if you get lost out there, just stay with the car. Someone will find it.
Well, at least they found water on Mars. Comparing old and new photographs of the Martian surface today, NASA researchers believe they have found water on Mars.
That's two.
We've had this story of ancient water on Mars. Today, we are talking about liquid water that is present on Mars right now.
No, I wasn't at the Mars press conference.
We've had this story of ancient water.
What is the sound of the beginning?
That's a Martian.
That's the sound of a guy who has like some weird Tourette's tick.
We've had this story of ancient water on Mars. Today, we are talking about liquid water that is present on Mars right now.
All right,
we can all move to Mars.
Is this a real scientist or is this...
No, it's a real scientist.
Are you sure?
He's from NASA. N-A-S-A.
It seems
NASA.
Like this would be a bigger story.
It is a big story. It's second.
It
would have been the top story had that... Well, we hadn't had that misfortune.
Okay. Had he stayed in the car.
Yes.
Had James Kim stayed in the car, this Mars story would be top.
Mm-hmm.
So
now Richard Branson can build some spaceship and land people on Mars.
See, because here's the thing, and God love Clyde. I love Clyde deeply.
Clyde probably talked about this long ago.
That's the thing. That's what I'm talking about. Clyde talked about this a long time ago before there was any proof or evidence.
Right.
And every time, and again, I say this with all the greatest deep respect and admiration for Clyde, and he works in a field that is a little tricky sometimes in terms of hard fact. Sometimes there's just some guesswork or deduction or supposition going on in the field of the unknown and the paranormal. But the problem with this is every single time, you'll see one of those stories come out about the moon or Mars or, you know, like a thing in a field somewhere that's in the shape of like a yin-yang. And they'll be like, you know, researchers believe or researchers suspect that. And in Clyde's head, there's like a filtering device that happens where
he cuts to the chase.
He cuts to the, there is life on Mars and a Radisson Hotel. And it just, in his head, it immediately becomes the truth. And So I've heard from Clyde for years and years and years that no, they found water, and it's always that they found like a hole somewhere that they think like 5 skillion years ago it may have once had like a thing that sort of looked like water. So I got to be real careful with these stories. So you're saying there is actually water on Mars?
Yes.
You are saying that.
They believe they can prove that water exists due to some pictures.
Okay. All right. This is
now they've been following the water on Mars for quite some time to determine if life existed on what is now a cold and dusty planet.
Okay. Oh, is this the final?
No. There's only one cut.
We've had this story of ancient water.
All right.
So that's that.
Okay.
So there's water on Mars. So let's go to Mars.
let's all go today.
Bring a glass with you. A new TV show is giving 4 American adult film stars a chance to become serious actresses. Fox Reality Channels. Is there a Fox Reality Channel? An FRC?
There's a Fox
Reality Channel?
There's a Fox Everything Channel.
Well, their new program entitled My Bear Lady will follow the women as they travel to Britain to enroll in London's most prestigious theatrical school. My Bear Lady contestant Kirsten Rice says the experience is like nothing she's ever had before.
The terminology that's used and the words that are used, I've never heard before. I've never had to say anything like that. And we also had like a vocal coach who tried to teach us a proper British accent, which for most of us was completely far-fetched.
Doesn't far-fetched sound like it's Yiddish?
I don't know.
Okay. It does. I'm all far-fetched. And
I'm still thinking about water on Mars.
There's no water on Mars. These are porn stars? I'm not going to watch this.
My Bear Lady also features adult stars Nautica Thorne, Sasha Knox, and Chanel St. James.
And who's the one we just heard from?
That's Kirsten Rice.
Well, whatever.
It's on Fox Reality Channel.
Well, that's why I'm not going to watch it, because there's not going to be any...
I would think there is such a thing.
There's not going to be any porning. If there's not going to be any porning, Rick Emerson isn't going to watch it. Dave, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. They had the mother and the 2 kids that were locked up in the woods and that were found.
Is this going to be a call that's insensitive in some way?
Well, I know you won't like it, and I'm sure Sarah will cringe, but...
Oh, God.
So who does that leave?
Well, hold on, like let me... Really, so is this just targeted at Tim?
No.
I will probably be repulsed. Well, hold on, Dave.
Yes, sir.
Here's what I'm going to do. Okay. I'm going to duck out of the hallway to get some coffee. I want you to take...
You're going
to
miss the...
I'm
leaving, too.
Here's the thing. I have headphones on, but here's the thing. Okay. Let's all calm down. I'm going to duck out into the hallway. I'm going to get some coffee. I want you to take about 10 seconds.
Okay.
And think through what you're going to say.
Okay.
Let it percolate inside for about 10 seconds. I'll be back in a moment. Okay. I'll have my coffee. At that point, perhaps you'll decide to move forward with this comment. Perhaps you'll decide it's too soon. So just hang on a second. I want you to... Can you see? Hang on.
I'm hanging.
All right. Thank you. You're going to, and let me just, while you're there, I'm going to get some coffee. You can ponder this thought. And in the meantime, I'm just going to let you,
I like that music.
All right. That's going to be Bob Costantini's new theme if he doesn't start playing the game better. All right, Dave. Now, have you thought through this comment you were going to make about James Kim?
I have thought it through.
All right, sir. What have you decided?
I've decided to go through with my thought.
All right, here we are.
Okay, this is in the interest of the news.
Okay.
The children were kept alive with sweet, sweet mama sauce.
And after all of this buildup...
All this build up for
something we knew. Something
that's not enough to raise one eyebrow.
For all of this build up for something that we said at 11:30.
I'm sorry to disappoint you.
No, that's okay. But you know what? You know what made it worthwhile? What made it worthwhile was your use of the phrase "sweet, sweet mama sauce."
Hey, Davey Nichols rule.
No, he really does, sir, in every conceivable way, and so do you, just for using that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Bye.
All right. All right, go. Thank you. That's Dave. We should get this really quickly before we return to Tim Riley. Mm-hmm. This is a timely call. Mike, are you a TriMet driver?
I am a TriMet driver sitting on my TriMet bus as we speak.
Now, what's brought you to the phones today, sir?
Because you had such nice comments about our less fortunate pastors.
Well, they are a source of great amusement to the rest of us. And look, there are people in radio who go their entire lives trying to be amusing and failing. These people are amusing without even trying. That's a skill.
My next trip, I leave in 15 minutes, and my next trip I'm going to go by a location. I'll pick up 30 mentally disabled people that work there.
It's a crazy house. You're going by a crazy
house.
Well,
no, it's not. No, they're not insane. They're mentally disabled. But
what?
It will be a
tomato, tomato. I'm sorry. And so you're picking up, what, 30 of them?
30
mentally
of
retarded
them.
People aren't crazy people, Rick.
They're not crazy.
What's the difference? Sarah?
Well, crazy isn't you're insane. If you're retarded, your
slow.
Brain doesn't work like, you know.
They still have to pay the regular fare.
No, they're disabled. They're honored citizens, so they don't.
They're honored citizens.
So you're saying that if someone pretended to be disabled, they could get a discount on the bus?
I see the light going on in Sarah's eyes.
Technically, you're supposed to show an honored citizen card, but when you're loading 30 disabled people...
Oh, and like they're going to remember to bring the card. What, do you pin it to their sleeve?
Well, the reason they talk to the drivers like they do, uh-huh. This morning I had... They have a program where they'll... acclimate them to the bus. So, like, this morning I had five...
They have a miniature bus. They live in at home.
You know, you're going to hell for this.
It's an honest question.
I'm trying to be very nice. I can't really say what I want to say. I'm trying to be very nice about this.
All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead. So there's a program to acclimate them to the bus.
So they acclimate them. They say, that's the driver. That's the person you want to stand next to.
Sit on his lap.
And it's basically,
tell him what you want for Christmas.
You sit in this seat and, you know... And they forget from day to day, after a 2-week period, it's a 2-week program, and they'll learn you will stand here at this time, and this bump will come by, and that's the driver you'll see every day type thing.
Excellent. All right.
So they don't forget. But these 30 people I pick up are a little more advanced, and let me tell you, they are the nastiest people I have ever seen. They talk, the way they talk to each other, and just sexually, and the way they pick on each other, it's just horrendous.
I think they're actually from St. John's.
Yeah. I was going to say, are you sure they're retarded and not just from Southeast?
Yeah, well, you try to correct them by, you know, quieting them down, and the rest of the passengers look at you like you're an absolute monster.
Because you're back there disciplining a retarded child.
Because I got 30 people on board cussing and swearing and, you know, slapping and tickling.
Slapping and tickling. Hot and bothered.
You've got to be here. It's like a circus.
Now, when you...
this run.
It's like a circus.
Oh, no, there's a 3-ring circus going on for this trip. It's just amazing.
Did you get them to juggle balls on their nose? You know, the inflatable, like the kind that seals balance. That's... Balance some balls on your nose.
That's where the more advanced...
in the circus where what's that thing in the circus, that animal, and it balances...
A seal?
And it balances balls on its nose.
That would be a seal.
The Lord's going to punish you.
Balancing balls on your nose. Now, let's just real briefly, and again, remembering that we are on the radio here. When you say that the 30... retarded, special needs people. You're saying that they're talking to each other in a relentlessly sexual fashion.
They're very sexual.
What do you mean by that?
They will describe every act that they have ever done in a very loud manner because they have no self-control. They're just really, you know, they're probably 30 years old, so they have adult wants and yearns. They just don't know how to articulate them
in
a proper fashion.
Okay.
I have PP. That's basically what it is.
You are a terrible person, Mike.
I'm just trying to gird my loins here so I can do
don't
this
say
trip, because it is really, really miserable.
Don't say loins. No, just pick... never mind.
What is the closest location where we may ride on this bus?
I was just going to say, Scotty is now...
Well, there are numerous buses that pick up people from these locations, but this particular one is in Hillsboro.
Of course. Scotty is saying, I need
that
to...
That will be Scotty's neighborhood.
Yes, Scotty says, I need to do a man on the street bit on that bus.
Well, you know, what I was going to do was, as I drove, I'd leave my phone open so you could listen to the goings-on.
Well, bring them through for a field trip.
I'll bring them over to you so we can have a lunch together.
That's like a reverse contest.
That's right. You lose, you get them. So.
But
anyway, most of them are pretty nice, but it gets a little rowdy. And, you know, but the ones I talk to the drivers are doing so because they're told to you know,
how fun for you. Yeah, how fun for you.
Oh, it's just a blast.
Mike.
And you tend to hear the same stories every day because they forget that they told you the same story the day before.
Oh,
and,
God.
It's just repetition.
Do you ever drive the 14, Mike?
No, I'm on the west side.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't do the 14.
Like he can take a bus full of retarded people, but he can't tolerate Hawthorne. That should tell us something right there.
A bus full of mentally disjalanced people is much better than a bus full of supposed do-gooders that want to slit your throat for the slightest infraction. Those people on Hawthorne are brutal.
Maybe you're in a different section of Hawthorne than I am. I ride that Hawthorne bus, and I just get off there smelling like a candle.
Oh, yeah. I know. But they are just...
I'm always between the hippie that stinks of patchouli and the dirty-haired, fat, blonde girl who has the Raiders hoodie, you know, or like parka down to her ankles and 15 kids.
And then you get the homeless down there, and then it's a mix on that 14. I don't know how those drivers do it, but...
You know, it's part of life's rich pageant. I like to feel that we've raised some community awareness.
Well, the bus runs like every 10 minutes, too, and every one of them is packed. It's I don't know how they do it. I just, you know, it wear you down.
I'm thinking nerve strike with this whole topic. All right. Mike, enjoy your route. I don't know.
10 more minutes. Please don't make me do it. Save me, Rick.
Well, we have several bartenders who were calling earlier. Perhaps you can make a stop at one of their fine establishments. Perhaps
that might be a possibility after I get off this run.
Perhaps you can numb the relentless sexual energy of your disabled passengers with alcohol.
After this trip, you need a shower. You just feel like, you know, I've been wronged in so many ways.
That's a disturbing image. Oh, good God. I can't reach. All right. Mike, I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to have Scotty, just for grins, get your contact info here. And who knows? There may be a man on the street bit in Scotty's future.
Oh, you can't do that on the bus. You have to go through TriMet.
Oh, no, of course.
And I shouldn't talk too much more because they've probably got their triangulation. They're tracking me, and they'll probably, I'll probably get back to the garage, and they'll say... Well, you don't have to worry about that run anymore.
Well,
longer here.
That's a fair point. And probably Scotty would be unnerving to your passengers anyway. He does have a sort of a crazy goggle-eyed
like
look.
He has like a serial killer vibe.
He does.
Well,
I
suggest what Scotty do is go through the training that they go through, and then he can go work at this place, and then he can get on a bus and be one of their buddies.
I hear it.
That'd be great.
I hear a Scotty field trip in the future where he... this is like one of those Dave Attell things where he becomes like a short order cook for a night. Scotty can become a bus driver.
Well, no, he couldn't be a bus driver. I was thinking about him being one of the mentally challenged and live like the mentally challenged.
We could...
Because we're highly skilled, trained people. You just can't become a bus driver.
No, that's true, especially if you're Scotty.
You're one of the few. You're one of the chosen when you're a TriMet.
Well, that is really, yes. That is really one of the things about being one of the mentally challenged. Not everybody can become a bus driver, but really all it takes is a shovel and a friend who's had it up to here with your crap, and you can become retarded just like that.
Exactly right. It's a short trip from driving the bus to being in the home.
To driving the bus to riding the bus. That's a 10-second journey.
Like we see drivers that have retired that come back and ride the bus, and oh my God, they're never the same after that. They're just they just lost that spark of life.
Who knew that there were so many issues working underneath the facade, the calm surface of a TriMet bus driver? Who knew that this lurked underneath?
All right.
That's
true. I'll tell you what. And when
the dark side of bus driving.
Well, and late tonight, sir, when you're done with your, have a drink for us, the Rick Emerson Show, sir.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Mike.
Bye-bye.
All right, there you go. That's Mike.
That was entertaining.
I really...
That was.
Who knew? It took off in a direction nobody thought.
Just but take lifting the lid off this whole sordid enterprise. God, all right. Are we already at the breaking point, so to speak?
Mm-hmm. I suppose so. More or less.
I'm sorry. We'll come back.
Well, I thought this was more entertaining.
Well, really, you really can't compete with that guy.
Really can't.
No one can compete with that call. Did you hear how you just had like the nervous, like crazy giggle going on? Like at some point he was just going to begin shrieking with laughter and never stop.
We were just simply observers.
Really, it's true. Life's rich pageant. Okay. We'll come back. We will revisit the Ministry of Truth, and Jim Roop will talk about Lane Garrison and his one-way road to hell. Stay there. Back after this, the Rick Emerson Show.